Welcome to Jack's Garage on Dialed In. And today, I promised you a field trip. So I'm here at Roush Fenway Racing with Operations Director Tommy Wheeler and Kevin Kidd, Competition Director for Roush Fenway Racing. We're going to talk about this week at Martinsville in the rain-delayed race, and then we're going to look ahead to competition in general and where things stand as we look ahead through the off week to Texas. Let's start with you, Tommy Wheeler. Okay, at Martinsville, late issues for Trevor Bayne and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. after starting the race with a backup car never seemed to have anything.
Just, we didn't get it done. That's just an honest answer. Martinsville has been a bit of a yin and yang type track for us. Historically, it's not been a great track for Roush Fenway, but in the last few years, it's turned into one of our strong suits. The short track program, certainly in 2017, was something we were proud of, something that we looked forward to. So going into Martinsville, we certainly had our expectations very high and certainly had our hopes and dreams dashed with the performance. It was unacceptable and not what we're about. And we're not we're making a plan on how we're going to fix that moving forward.
What happened with Ricky Stenhouse Jr.? He was stifled by a starting position at the rear, and he couldn't advance, just really struggled. What have you been able to find out?
Yeah, so it all starts back to Saturday in practice and, you know, having an issue there in practice where we wrecked our primary car. You know, anytime you do that, it just sets the whole weekend behind. And so with the way the rules are this year, you unload your backup car. Now you have to put an engine in it, and so there's just a lot of work that has to take place to get the car on the racetrack. Inevitably, what happens, you know, due to some unfortunate oversights and things that happened, getting that backup car prepared, we had some mechanical issues that basically doomed us from the start, and. Those were not issues that we could get rectified during the race. So we just had to limp around all day and sort of lick our wounds, so to speak, with the issues that we had. And it's unfortunate, but that defined our day.
Yeah, what happened to Trevor Bayne as the laps wound down? He was riding before making contact with the right side of his Ford.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor's day was a bit up and down. You know, he started off and it was not looking so bad. You know, certainly more glass half full as we headed through the first segment and started to go into the back half of the race. And we frankly got behind on some adjustments, and the track went away from where we had anticipated, and we just lost control. That's basically what happened. Ended up getting ourselves behind, and then we had that long green flag stretch, and just the way the race unfolded, there wasn't really an opportunity for Matt Fuchsia to use some of his magic to get the strategy back right, to get caught back up and to get back relevant again. And then it certainly ended badly. We had a wheel hop condition and found the wall, and that just really sunk us.
So I'm headed into your office, very appreciative of you granting me an interview when you guys are so busy, and Jack is headed out. Jack dips his head out the door. He says, "I wore him down for you." What do you guys talk about when you meet after a race like that?
Well, we're certainly talking about overall performance. What do we need to do as an organization to get better? Not more on a granular level of what do the pit crews need to do, or what do the engineers need to do, or what do the teams even need to do, but what do we need to do from Kevin, myself, and Jack's vantage point? What is really the strategic things that are holding us back, and what's going to prevent us from taking that next step? And certainly after a race like Martinsville, there's certainly a lot of after-action type discussion. Like, hey, what are we going to do to make sure that the mistakes we made and the things that happened that were bad and not positive, what are we going to do to make sure that we don't replicate those issues in the future? And then of the small nuggets of things that were some glimmer of hope coming out of a tough weekend, what are we going to do to make sure we capitalize and maximize those moving forward and keep the best parts of it?
What I like is the honesty of this team, because you certainly are not the only team talking like this today coming out of Martinsville. It's early in the season. There are still things that can be done. But I was talking to various reporters and whatnot about the topic that, you know, it was so crazy busy, Daytona, Atlanta, West Coast, and that the teams that needed to get better maybe weren't able to gather it together to do that. But as we look through the off weekend and to Texas, do you feel like we'll see more of that?
I certainly think Texas, you're going to see teams take advantage of the opportunity to sort of hit the reset switch and go work on their cars, go work on their teams, and go work on, you know, everything that, that entails good performance. And so it's likely you'll see a few teams that haven't been performing well take a step forward. You know, it's unlikely you'll see teams that have been performing well take a step backwards. And you know, the deck does have the opportunity to shuffle at that point. For us, you know, we're going to take this break really just to focus on a handful of things, our execution and our car speed, and really just try to get those two things, you know, in a better condition than what they currently are, so that we can perform the way we know we can.
Because here's the deal. If, and I've heard this about teams, you can tell everybody, all the fans that are listening, if you chase after specific things, sometimes you can turn specific things around. Chasing too much can also undermine what hasn't shown, but you feel like you have made a difference in.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. We're some of the most competitive people on the planet here in the Monster Energy series, right? We are hard programmed to find flaws and fault with everything we can. You know, we never point out the things that are positive because we don't need to talk about those. Those things are good, so move on. We need to focus on the things that are bad. And so for us, it gets very easy to work on the things that are not going your way and the things that are issues. That's your list to make sure that we're improving in those areas. So the list gets kind of short. And that's where we're going to focus our energy here over the next couple of weeks to make sure that when we go to Texas that we've shored up those areas.
Kevin, how do you know what the other teams have that have found something? And I know people are trying to catch up with them. Is that possible to do for many of the teams? It doesn't, you know, if you listen, it doesn't take long to hear them, the teams that are dominating right now, say, well, we know we're not going to stay here because people will catch up. How is it that a team works to find out and figures out what the other teams that are doing well have?
You know, one of the things that's unique about our sport is that the garage is an open garage, and it's really easy just to look at people's cars and kind of see where they're developing and where they're not. The other thing that's unique about our sport is there are just a few small things or a small list, I should say, of things that actually put speed in these cars. So you can kind of think about aerodynamics and horsepower and you know, optimizing tires and driver performance. And those are really the things that you kind of focus on to put speed in the cars. And when it comes to a few of those topics, there's only two or three things that you can really do these days to actually move the needle on those. So, you know, maybe different than years past, the list really gets narrowed in on where you got to go to work. And really the art of getting it right comes down to the engineering expertise and the level of resource and effort you can put to one or multiples of those tasks to actually get the job done.
And again, what I like is that when you follow a team through the season, I like the honesty. This is what many teams that are not at the top of the rung, you know, are not the Stewart Haas Racing team, are not Martin Truex Jr.'s team, are talking about right now. This is what's happening in the competition offices, so it's not just Roush Fenway Racing. But I guess the question to those teams right now, to all of them is, and to you more specifically, is it too early to be worried?
It's never too early to be worried, right? We live week to week. I mean, if we had won at Fontana and then ran the way we did this past weekend at Martinsville, I think I'd still feel the same way. So it's never too early to worry with as competitive as it is. But the way the playoffs are set up, it's also never too late to be optimistic, right? You're 1 week away from glory, right? And that's the fun about the whole thing with the playoffs and the way it's structured, that we can go to Texas and you can come visit us on Monday after Texas and have a completely different story. And a completely different trajectory for at least one of our teams. And then as we head to Bristol, you know, the second team would win at Bristol, and then it works itself out.
How do you communicate this to the team? Their heads are down, I'm sure. You have a lot of esprit de corps at this shop because I've been here before and I know it. How do you keep people as they head into Easter weekend from being down? What do you tell them? Do you have a team meeting?
Yeah, actually, we had the team meeting this morning. We do a team meeting every Tuesday at 6:30, you know, we just have that discussion with them. The thing that's important when we communicate with our teammates is really just to provide honesty. You know, we're not going to hide behind and say, oh, man, if we just had this one little thing, we're going to go get them, or, hey, success is right around the corner. No, we don't really try to portray something that's not there. We give it to them as it is, and I really feel like the honesty is something that all of us appreciate. And the thing that's important when we speak to them honestly is they're looking for a sense of direction, a sense of plan. Hey, you know, Martinsville didn't go the way it wanted, you know, any of us wanted to. So what are we going to do to try to get better there? And so if Tommy and I, along with Jack, do a good job of communicating what our plans are and where we're going, that's really how you win the teammates over.
And what about the drivers who are incredibly competitive, probably banging on the table somewhere saying, what the heck?
Well, they're no different than all of us, right? They're just, they're another integral part of the team, no different than the floor sweeper and the guy who builds chassis and the aerodynamicist. There are no unimportant parts in the team, and with that, they feel the same way. You know, so certainly their heads are down, and that's, you know, the fortunate thing, there aren't many breaks in the season, and we're coming up on one, and it couldn't come at a better time for us to kind of get our feet back underneath us and take a deep breath and have a real emotional reset, as we head into Texas to get our season really back on the track that we think is possible.
How do you balance giving time off and saying we got to work this off weekend?
I think it differs a little bit with the different groups that we have within the organization. All of our traveling mechanics that have been doing this, you know, for a few weeks straight now and have hit all the West Coast races, we planned a long time ago in the wintertime to give those guys, you know, largely from today through the end of the week off. And those are the guys that, you know, we all deserve time off, but those guys deserve it the most because they've been just doing so much traveling lately. With the guys here at shop, you know, we do Good Friday, and other than that, it's business as usual. And so a lot of the work that we're focused on right now and what we're trying to do to get better comes down to, you know, largely just making our cars better and, again, making our teams better. Some of what it's going to take to make our teams better is just to give them a moment to catch their breath and sort of reset their mind and get them thinking a little more clearly than where they might be today. And while that's happening, we'll be able to go over here and work on cars and try to make them better as well.
But aren't your cars ready almost for Texas already? Is it too late to look at Texas?
It's never late until they're loaded and on their way. So we have many days yet to make our Texas stuff as good as we can.
What have you guys observed in the sport through now? What have you seen?
What have we seen this year? Probably that stage point's still important, still a big part of the formula, and it's going to play out as the season goes. Certainly, the four car has figured something out in the off season, and so that's a bit of a nicety for us in that we share the same badge on the hood of our cars, so it makes the list somewhat smaller of what is wrong and what is right with the program. So certainly, Roush Yates engines are certainly not on the list of things of concerns at this point because Clint Boyer just won on Monday. And so that helps us out in that regard and helps us out as we start thinking about the aerodynamics. And it gets the list shorter, as Kevin was alluding to earlier.
Since you share the Ford brand and Stewart Haas Racing is doing so good, Kevin Kidd, how much information can you get from them? How much will they let you know what it is that they have?
Well, I mean, it is a competitive sport, despite whose brand you have on the hood. And so with Stewart Haas, we have a closer relationship to them than we would have to any other organization other than Penske and Front Row and all those guys. But at the same time, we have boundaries that we all work within. So we do meetings with Ford, I sit in meetings every week with Travis Geisler and Greg Zipidelli, and we talk about a lot of things, but they're not going to hand over the keys of the castle just like that.
In other words, you really don't know what they're doing.
Oh, we have a decent idea, but we don't know for sure.
So you're going to look at it and see if you can figure it out?
Always.
And then in those meetings, do you try to sneak any information out of them, or do you laugh about that?
No.
What the hell are you doing over there?
Yeah, no, we do laugh about it, but we have a little bit of respect for each other in those meetings.
Bird is not singing right now. The bird's not singing.
Right.
I get that. I wanted to ask you guys, because last week you had an issue with a loose lug nut, which is, what, a $10,000 fine. The stack of them this week, how are teams looking at that? What does $10,000 mean to a team? What kind of a penalty is that?
I mean, $10,000 still represents to us wind tunnel time or development dollars that we don't have. But we also understand that it's somewhat the cost of doing business. If you're going to ask the tire changers and the pit crews to give you that ultimate performance at that moment in the race when it matters the most, the money stop by definition, you're going to have that if you ask those guys to operate at that level. It kind of falls under the cost of doing business. However, from my desk, I certainly don't like to see it because it does limit our resources and what we can do with it.
What have you seen in that? Obviously, you guys had it a week ago.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a tough situation we're all in because for safety interests, you know, we've got to have some rules and some teeth behind those rules so that we're not all operating so much in the margins that we're putting our drivers at risk. At the same time, with the way the whole pit stop thing is and the way it's been for as long as I've raced, you know, it's really easy to leave one off. Let's just call it how it is. And so it gets old to have to write those $10,000 checks as often as sometimes we do, but I don't have a good solution around it right now. I know, yeah, I've been in discussions with NASCAR at times about what is a better solution. And unfortunately, it's just not readily available right now. And so for the time being, we're going to deal with it, and we're going to continue to push our tire changers to operate at the highest level we can. And unfortunately, that means we're going to have to cut some checks every now and then.
Last thing, what's the story right now out of Roush Fenway Racing? What would you like the headline to be? I know there'll be a lot of motivation and pump up, but what's the storyline right now headed into Easter weekend?
Heading to Easter is a reboot. Reboot is the storyline. We're going to reboot as we head to Texas and prove to the garage and to the world that this is not who we are, that who we are is going to become visible here in a very short order and in the coming weeks, and we're going to get our season back on track. We do not believe that our season is doomed by no stretch, and we just got to live up to what we're capable of.
What do you think the storyline is, Kevin Kidd?
Well, it is definitely reboot. And, you know, I think back to last year, it's quite opposite. We came out of the gate pretty strong last year and ran that through early summer, and then we kind of fell off a little bit in midsummer. And my hope is that we can kind of reverse that trend. Obviously, you never want to fall off at any point, but we've started the season not where we want to be, and I'm looking to, you know, get some momentum going and start to get this thing where we need it to be for the summer months. And that's when the real true run to the playoffs occurs. And I want to be in our strongest form through summer and on into the playoffs.
Do you think we know where everybody's at right now this early?
I think you've got a pretty good idea. You know, all the regular cast of characters that you would expect to be up front are largely up front. I don't expect that to change in terms of their performance, but I do expect a few guys like ourselves to start joining in the discussion a little more often and be a part of that group as well.
I know that you guys are busy, and I know that these kinds of discussions are going on at lots of race shops that are not the Stuart Haas, Martin Truex Jr. team, as I said, but I certainly appreciate you showing the story of the hard work, showing the story of the ups and downs of the sport and the challenges when it's a weekend that wasn't a good weekend, and that's all part of the story, and I appreciate you sharing it with the race fans on Jack's Garage. I know you guys are busy. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Claire.
Yep, thank you.